Good morning. It is time to get up with a shock in the mock. Mel Kiper unveils his latest predictions live, and they're unlike any he's ever done before. That's first. Then we've got insight into exactly what has been the holdup for Dak and Dallas and what it means for them now. And don't look now, but we've got trouble for LeBron's Lakers. Wait until you see what happened to them last night. You will, as we get up with you, starting right now. Back and better than ever from our studios at the Seaport. I am Greeny, and I feel small because Chris Canty is here. And he's the biggest person I've ever seen in my entire life. And we're ready to talk football and more with him and this squad. Look who we've got for you today. Dan Orlovsky is back from vacation today. Diana Russini has got all the insight. And then the man of the moment is Mel Kiper Jr. as we exclusively reveal his brand new mock draft 2.0, which is available on ESPN+. And it's a big day for Mel, because this is the first time in history that he's got trades in his mock draft, and it begins with a splash. Mel has the Falcons moving up from 4-2 with the Jets to take Zach Wilson out of BYU. In that scenario, the Jets picking fourth overall would take Kyle Pitts, the tight end, out of Florida. At number 7 overall, Mel another deal. The 49ers moving up from 12 to take Buckeyes quarterback Justin Fields, whom you saw in the championship game. And at 9 overall, Mel has the Patriots moving up from 15 to take North Dakota State's quarterback Trey Lance. All in all, Mel has 5 quarterbacks off the board in the top 9 picks. Trevor Lawrence, of course, at number 1. Mac Jones to the Panthers at number 8. And I will point out that all of the 9 top players on this mock draft all play offense, which is another sign of the times for the National Football League circa 2021. And there he is, Mel Kiper Jr. Let's start at number 2. That really is where the draft begins. And the Jets have a decision to make. They could take the quarterback or they could stick with Sam Darnold. Why do you believe they stay with Sam?
I think Sam, outside of Trevor Lawrence, Greeny, would be the quarterback to move forward with. Now, they may disagree, but Zach Wilson, to me, would be a sideways move at best if you take him at 2. And then you trade Sam Darnold. So I think surround Sam Darnold with better talent. You say, well, he's beaten up physically and mentally. Well, a lot of quarterbacks that have been in the league or are out of the league now and are Hall of Famers say, that's what you need to do. You need to play through that, not sit and watch. And Sam played through it. It's a new situation there with the Jets, new organization. Everything's new and maybe something he needs. People say change the scenery. Why not change it with the Jets and go get a Kyle Pitts who can be that difference maker, something they didn't have last year for Sam. Got nothing from the tight end position. He can be more than an inline tight end. He can be a slot wide receiver. You can move him around and give them a dynamic in that offense that Sam Darnold has never had.
All right, so it's a fascinating question, and it would be for any team in that situation. But so you have Wilson there at clearly cut at the number 2 position. And then we look at the other quarterbacks in this, you have 5 of them going in the first 9 picks. So it's great respect for all of them. But I'm always fascinated by the order in which you place them. And it certainly feels like from the beginning of the process to this point, the one who's moving up is Mac Jones. And that may not stop anywhere. Give me a sense of what you're seeing from the league's perspective on him.
Well, Senior Bowl week helped him, Green, no doubt about that. How about 77%+ completion percentage this year? He was flawless, and he didn't have Jalen Waddle after October 24th. You know, he had Devontae Smith, so for Mac Jones, didn't have Judy and Ruggs. They had moved on. Tua had all those guys. Mac Jones did not. He was nearly 80% completion percentage at all levels. Short, medium range, and deep. So for me, I think the Senior Bowl week with Matt Rhule. Now, Deshaun Watson, Greeny, you know, is the trade going to happen? Who's going to get Deshaun Watson? Will he be dealt? That could alter things, obviously, in the top 10. But if things stay the way they are, Carolina, how if you're Matt Rhule and you like Mac Jones coming in, how can you not love him coming out of Senior Bowl week? So I think at that particular pick, it would be very difficult for Carolina, who is eyeing a quarterback in that division. They will be the team ahead of the curve with the youngest quarterback moving forward. Why not at number 8 take Mac Jones?
Right, and the specter of Deshaun Watson hovers over all of this and many of these teams. And obviously that's something we'll have to see how it plays out. But the question on Mac Jones will be, does he play the brand of football that the NFL is today? All the other quarterbacks in this draft have a level of mobility that he does not. At this stage, Mel, how important is that for evaluators and, more importantly, for teams?
Well, you would prefer to have a Joe Burrow type who can beat you with his legs. And those Joe Burrow-Mac Jones comparisons, I've said for months now, Greeny, are not accurate. Joe Burrow beat Alabama with his legs. In the NFL this year, before the injury, was that mobile quarterback who could run and pick up first downs with his legs and his mobility and his athleticism. Mac Jones isn't going to do that. I said, hey, Tom Brady couldn't do it. Tom Brady came out of Michigan, right? That's why he was a sixth-round pick. Mac Jones, they say, well, they're dinosaurs. Well, Tom Brady at 43 won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees was still playing at a pretty high level despite injuries and age. Now he's retired. Think about what he was able to do, led his team to the playoffs. So if they're dinosaurs, Tom Brady's proven that you can still be effective in this league as a pure pocket passer if you're accurate and you're smart and you're competitive, and that's what Mac Jones is.
Yeah, so maybe the lesson here is that pocket quarterbacks, unlike dinosaurs, are not yet extinct. All right, Mel, stay close by. We will do much more with you as this morning continues. And again, the entire mock draft is right now available on ESPN Plus. And actually, it's going to stay with us. And let me come out to the group here. Dan Orlovsky, I turn to you as my quarterback guru here. Essentially, Mel is saying, you take Sam Darnold, you take Zach Wilson. That's the decision that the two team in this draft, which is the Jets, are making. He has them staying with Darnold. Do you like it or not like it?
Yeah, I like it. You know, Greeny, I had some time away with my family, and I'm watching the show, and I see my boy, the guy I love, Mike Tannenbaum, come on, and he's throwing some shade at my guy, Sam Darnold. I'm like, hold the rope. Unlike Josh and Devin on the challenge, they couldn't hold the rope last night because I'm hearing like, well, funny body throws or off-platform throws. Well, Sam's like, okay, I'm hot. My receiver's not looking. I'll get creative. I'll get outside the pocket, stare to the right, see it's third down. Where's the marker? And oh, look at that no look to Crowder. That's an off-platform throw. That's outside of the pocket. This one is sick. This one is absolutely sick. Move that defensive lineman. Keep the vision downfield. Just watch this throw. Watch this throw from the back angle. Full sprint to the left. Look at where this ball is thrown. Get out of here. That is a funny body throw. How about this beautiful play against Denver? Okay, play action, move because that internal pressure. Vision downfield, watch the ball placement on this throw. This is outside the pocket, off platform throw. So I'm hearing everybody talk about Zach Wilson are like, man, he's a really good athlete and he makes these outside of the pocket creative second reaction off platform throws. And I'm like, that's the same thing that Sam Darnold does. So let me address Sam Darnold for everybody who's a Jets fan. If you thought a young quarterback in his first 3 years was going to play well with two head coaches, three offensive coordinators, mono, a significant shoulder injury, a bottom five offensive line and run game, a bottom five skill group, and bottom 10 defensive line, that's on you. No quarterback was going to play well with the Jets. What everyone needs to realize, it's Sam Darnold and what you'll get for the second pick versus Zach Wilson and what you get for Sam Darnold. Right now, as I sit here today, the Jets should keep Sam Darnold and make everyone think they love Zach Wilson.
Okay, I like it. Now, Chris Canty, I come to you. You host the talk show in New York, mornings on ESPN Radio in New York with Rick and Dave Rothenberg. So you're talking about this literally every single day. Yep. Do you agree? Should the Jets stay with Sam Darnold or take the quarterback in the draft?
No, I absolutely do not agree with Mel or with Dan in this situation. And listen, I understand that you're talking about the talent conversation when it comes to Sam Darnold. If you put him in this draft class, he's probably the second most talented quarterback. But one of the things that's understated in this conversation and what the Jets should do at two is what the last 3 years have done to Sam Darnold in terms of affecting his overall confidence and his career trajectory. I've literally heard from a quarterback about having the career knocked out of him. David Carr was one of my teammates with the New York Giants when we won Super Bowl 46, and he talked about his experience down there with the Houston Texans. One of the things that I worry about with Sam Darnold is that he's never going to realize this potential that we all saw back in 2018 that vaulted him into the top five in that draft class.
All right, so that's obviously the push and the pull. Mel, we touched on that briefly. I'll come back to you on that in a second, but I want to get Diana Russini into the conversation. What are you hearing about this? Because this really is where the draft begins, and everything that follows will hinge on this decision the Jets make. What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, for now, right now, I've been told the same thing day in and day out, which is they are still evaluating what they want to do with the position. But Mel mentioning that they want to take a tight end with Kyle Pitts there. No tight end has ever been taken at the top of the draft in the first four spots ever in a draft. So this would be a really intriguing move made by New York. And here's the thing. I've talked to people around the league about Kyle Pitts. And they say he's just a matchup nightmare for defenses. And you look at the impact that we see in the league with Kelce, Kittle, Waller even. They've really been able to make the difference for these offenses. And if there's one thing that Chris pointed out very clearly, that's Sam Darnold needs help. And what better way to get some help on this offense than getting a tight end as good as Pitts would be?
All right, so we will leave that there. That all these things are to be decided, obviously. Let's move then, and Mel and I talked about it, Diana, to the specter that sort of hovers over all of this, and that is Deshaun Watson, because that could change so many teams' plans based upon what winds up happening. What is the latest on the possibility of him getting traded?
They need to pick up their phone. Houston needs to pick up their phone if a trade needs to get done. This is the problem. I've talked to teams around the league. There is tons of interest in Deshaun Watson, but Houston doesn't want to make the deal. And this has been the story from day one. Nick Caserio is in there right now trying to fix this relationship. We can talk all day about whether or not he can get that done, but the Houston perspective right now is we are keeping Watson here. He's not going anywhere.
So if you start assessing value, Mel, I'll come back to you. And obviously it's been a while since you evaluated Deshaun Watson, but we can all tell he's a top three or four quarterback in the NFL. So should the Jets at number two be willing to give up whatever it might take? Should the Dolphins at three be willing to give up whatever it might take? Are you in favor of the huge sale, if you will, of all these draft picks to get Deshaun Watson?
And Carolina would be in that mix too, Greeny. I would give up whatever it took to get Deshaun Watson. 25 years of age, great quarterback, one of the top three or four in the league moving forward. He's going to keep ascending from that. You know what you already have. He's dealt with adversity. Talk about Sam. He's had a bad team around him. They still put up great numbers. Deshaun's done what Superman only could do in Houston.
Right.
So, yes, I would give up whatever draft choices it took to get Deshaun Watson. If I'm the Jets, if I'm Miami, if I'm Carolina, yes, I would send a lot of draft choices in that Texas vicinity to the Houston Texans organization.
Dan, looks to me like you're agreeing.
There's no question about it. I think Deshaun Watson's one of the four or five best quarterbacks in football, and he's only getting better. And Mel makes a great point that we've seen him succeed in adversity. Imagine Deshaun Watson going to a place that is well run. We think that the Jets have a good general manager and the Dolphins have a good general manager. We know the Dolphins have a good head coach, and we think the Jets are going to. Imagine Deshaun Watson in stability, because he's been excellent in chaos. And that's why, like, at the end of the day, when you get your quarterback, because as much as I love Sam Darnold or I'm intrigued by a Zach Wilson or a Fields or something like that, you know Deshaun Watson is great. You don't think he's going to be good. You're not projecting him to be good. You know he's good. If I'm the and I thought Mike T made a great point 2 weeks ago. You pit the Dolphins and the Jets against each other and you go, man, if we don't get him, that team's going to. And that's why, at the end of the day, those teams should be very aggressive. And Houston's got to wake up. Houston's got to pay attention. He's not playing for the Texans again.
Chris Canty, what do you think?
No, I think Dan's absolutely right, especially that last point about the Houston Texans. I think they're the last ones to realize that they're going to be forced to trade Deshaun Watson because he's not going to play for them. And as the offseason progresses, as we get to free agency, as we get to the NFL draft, these other teams that are into Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, they're going to start going away because they're going to formulate their own plans in terms of what they want to do at the position in 2021.
Yeah.
And if the Texans haven't made up their mind, then they're going to lose leverage in terms of the potential compensation that will be coming back to the organization if they were to deal him. So Houston's on the clock right now.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is I don't think that they ever lose with an asset of that significance. People will still be willing to give up a king's ransom. It's just a question of when. If they're going to do what you would think, they have to do it before the draft. And I think it's worth pointing out or worth remembering. Go ahead, Danny, that remembering that Deshaun Watson is not a free agent. Like, he has some say in this, but not all the say in this. And that also makes the situation a little different. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I think the big thing, though, Greeny, is you got two teams this year who have two first-round picks in this draft. You don't have that next year.
Right.
And so, like, the clock is ticking. Next year, those two teams are perfectly pitted against each other, same division, that both have multiple picks this year. And that's why, like, yes, eventually you could move him in September or August or something like that, but you lose the advantage of both Miami and the Jets having multiple first-round picks in this year's draft. And so there's that urgency to make that move, but there's also that capital that you can steal another first rounder this year in comparison to what a team could give you next year or the year after. They both also have young quarterbacks that you might be able to wiggle them away from, obviously, as well. You know, like, you could get Tua. What happens if Houston and Nick Caserio liked Tua coming out of school or liked Sam Darnold 3 years ago coming out of school? Those are also huge advantages when it comes to those two.
Mel Kiper, let me come back to you then on the number one overall pick, because Trevor Lawrence has been the first pick in this draft, it feels to me, for 3 years now. Are there any questions about him at all? He's having the non-throwing shoulder surgery. I know Dan a little bit later is going to bring up a couple of little questions or a couple of thoughts that exist on him. But what is the general consensus on him going in? Because I feel like the momentum surrounding Zach Wilson has been remarkable these last few weeks.
Yeah, it always happens, Green, this time of year. Remember Rick Meyer, Drew Bledsoe. Bledsoe was the guy, and then Rick Meyer got some play. You think about Peyton Manning with Ryan Leaf. You think about Andrew Luck with RG3. There's always going to be somebody out there who wants to nitpick and say, well, this guy could be a little better than the guy everybody's saying is the lock, stock, and barrel number one guy. All I'll say is, Greeny, in 43 years of doing this, John Elway is the highest-rated quarterback I've ever had. Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Trevor Lawrence will be fourth in that list of, you know, a gazillion quarterbacks that have been rated. So if he's not great, it'll be a huge, huge shock.
Wow, that is interesting. Dan, and you're that level of high on him as well. I know you have some thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Matthew Stafford kind of balled up into one. I think that his brain is Peyton Manning like. You watch him kind of operate the line of scrimmage at Clemson, you go, this dude, both in the run and the pass game, thinks next level. And then with the talent of Andrew Luck and Matthew Stafford, you know, the great thing about Trevor Lawrence is his foundation fundamentally is elite, Greeny. It's elite. Now, the really interesting thing is guys who are built like that, that have great fundamentals, usually need to, because they don't have great talent. They have to have great fundamentals to overcome the lack of talent. This guy's got number one talent as well. So we're talking elite fundamentals, which matter, combined with elite talent. He's going to be a rock star. He's going to be an absolute stud. He is not even close. There's no one close to Trevor Lawrence in the draft when it comes to the quarterback position.
And then, Diana, let me wrap it with you here as far as the wheeling and dealing end of all of this. Mel is finally, and Mel, can I tell you, it is so exciting as one who has followed you all these years to see you projecting trades in this for the first time. It adds a new element to fun.
Here we go. Brady, I'm finally a senior draft analyst. Once I became senior, I decided to make some trades.
Yeah, 2020 is weird for everyone. It even made Mel a little weird. Soon he's going to be having apple pie instead of pumpkin pie every morning, Mel. But look, I love listening to all the different views and the conversation about all the different quarterbacks. But I feel like if we're going to close this segment out, I just want to close it with the Houston Texans are not trading Deshaun Watson.
Will you say that again? Mean that they are not trading him soon, or they genuinely believe they're not trading him and he will continue to play for them?
The belief in that building is they can fix this, and this is going to happen, and he's going to stay in Houston.
Okay, I'm going to leave that there for the moment. Dan, I see the look on your face. I think we all share it. Canty is shaking his head over here. We will come back at that in a moment. We have much more as we go, and Mel will rejoin us as well. But we have not yet gotten to the game of the night, the matchup of the night out west. The Jazz trying to prove to everyone they're really that good against LeBron's Lakers. Second quarter, Jazz have already opened a 10-point lead, and Mike Conley's looking for more. He was 4 of 6 from 3, 14 points, Jazz up 13. LeBron had sort of a quiet night, but this one was loud. Going up and throwing it down. Look at Rudy Gobert getting out of the way. No reason to get in front of that. LeBron, however, had just 19 because this night belonged to Utah. Jordan Clarkson, 18 points off the bench. Jazz made 14 threes in the first half and were running away and hiding and never looked back. Third quarter, Jazz are up 20. And Donovan Mitchell is playing free safety. He's got the interception and then he's got the lob to Rudy Gobert. Take another look at this. Spida is there. Gobert's going to throw it down. He had 18. The Jazz have a 22-point lead. Still in the third quarter. How about a spectacular dunk? You want one of those? Bam, says Donovan Mitchell. Quiet night for him, just 4 of 16, but that one was spectacular. Jazz beat the Lakers, making a statement, 114 to 89. LeBron James, what?
It's a tough stretch for us, but, you know, if you know, this won't define who we will be for the rest of the season and for the long haul, that's for sure.
Of course, we're going to make the playoffs. I would say, you know, our whole preparation is preparing for the playoffs. You know, we see the Jazz. We know they beat our ass tonight. But, you know, in the playoffs, it's a different story.
We will see one way or another. Right now, the Lakers have other problems, which is to say they're not playing well. They've lost four straight, their longest losing streak since December of 19. They're 5-5 without Anthony Davis this year. We should point out Dennis Schroeder has also missed these four games. One way or another, though, the Lakers are struggling. They'll try and get things right as they continue. Meanwhile, we have an NBA Friday doubleheader that will include them. We'll start the night with the Pacers and the Celtics. They square off at 7:30 Eastern time, and then you will see LeBron's Lakers try to get back on the winning side as they host Dame Lillard and Portland. Our coverage start was NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Meanwhile, as we continue, a couple of people here took aim at Dan Orlovsky's feelings for Carson Wentz yesterday. We will let Dan fire back as we continue next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by GEICO. You could save even more by bundling home and car insurance. And by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. All right, Dan Orlovsky, you're a pretty good athlete in your day. I want you to watch Myles Garrett playing basketball. You tell me, what are you going to do with this guy on the defensive end of the floor?
He'd go get a free pass to the lane, Greeny. Like, if someone else got fouls, where's my help defense? Watching this, it makes me think of, how did God create me, who looks like me, and create that, who looks like that? How are we the same? Like, how? Where did I go wrong?
As we continue, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson will go 1-2. What makes them different from everybody else? We'll get that answer. And a little sneaky Hembo time. And this one's for Mel. Mel has 9 offensive players going in a row to start this year's draft. The question is, which draft had the most consecutive offensive players to begin round one? That's the question. We'll see if he gets the answer right. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up. And Mel, here we go. Hembo's got a question for you. You have 9 straight offensive players going off the board to start this year's draft in your mock draft. Which draft had the most consecutive offensive players to begin round one?
Greeny, nothing I hate more than trivia. My father always said it's trivia, it's trivial, short for trivial, which means who cares. And my father said, why waste time with something? Look it up. So I'm not a trivia fan. I don't like games. I don't play games. And trivia, if you want to take it as a game, have fun with it, fine. But I could care less about trivia.
You know what? That's right. I'm giving you the correct answer. I'm saying it's right. For the record, it was 1999 when the first defensive player didn't go off the board till number 7. That was the year that Couch, McNabb, and Achilles Smith all went off the board to start, the 3 different quarterbacks. But you know what, Hembo? I'm accepting that as a correct answer, if only because I loved it, and judging from the reaction in my ear, everyone in the control room loved it as well. Meanwhile, let's go back to what Mel does for a living, and that is projecting these quarterbacks. He has got his latest mock draft 2.0 up on ESPN Plus right now, projecting trades for the first time ever, and this is how he sees it going. Again, a trade right up near the top, with the Falcons moving up a few spots with the Jets to take Zach Wilson, the quarterback, and then you see the other quarterbacks in there with Justin Fields at 7, Mac Jones at 8, and Trey Lance at 9. The ones that are highlighted are the ones that we see in the form of trades. So Mel, I want to come back to you and the whole group here, and let's sort of pin down one point. And let's use two quarterbacks in this draft as an example. Mac Jones and Justin Fields. They played each other in the national championship game, so we all got to see them. Justin Fields, it feels like, is what the NFL is becoming. He's the dynamic threat. He can run. He can do all those different things. Mac Jones is what the NFL was 20 years ago. How important is that? As teams are making their evaluations right now, how important a factor is that in where these guys are going to get drafted now and into the future?
Yeah, the dual-threat quarterback is obviously what you want, Greeny. And people forget how great Justin Fields was in 2019 in a normal year. Okay, Olave broke that route off. It was an interception in the end zone. It wasn't on Fields. Okay, you think about this year. He didn't have Olave against Northwestern. He did struggle. Struggled against Indiana, but it was an interrupted season, anything but a normal season. Played great against Trevor Lawrence in that semifinal game. So I think when you look back at 2019, people just don't realize how special Justin Fields was. He's going to run probably 4-4, 4-4-5. He's got all the tools, all the ability you want. He's a tremendous competitor, loves the game, studies the game. So this notion that Justin Fields is somewhere in the late first, early second round, people say, well, he didn't play like a first rounder, he's overrated. Go back, look at 2019, and you will see a guy should have been in line to maybe be the number one pick overall. He's right there with Trevor coming out of high school. Even going into this year was kind of 1 and 1A. Justin Fields, because of what happened this year, hasn't dropped all the way down like some people may lead you to believe.
Talk about him, Danny, because he's a fascinating one. I agree. He's one who began the season maybe competing for the number one pick, and now we see where he falls.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Mel said. Coming on shows because we could break stupid narratives. So a lot of the things that have been said about Justin Fields is like really struggles to process. No, he doesn't, guys. Watch tape. Okay, the biggest jump that he's going to have to take from college to the NFL is covered in college. Guys that are covered in college are guys that are open. He's going to have to build the comfort level of going, okay, that guy's covered in college, but shoot, that 1 foot of separation is wide open in the NFL. And so having the confidence of letting the ball go on a consistent basis in that realm is where he's going to have to make that jump. But we're talking about a guy that is exactly, I mean, if you're talking about all the traits physically and mentally that you want in a quarterback, Justin Fields has that. The only thing that I would say is he's deliberate. He's very deliberate with his feet, with his thought process, with his eyes, where he wants to go with the football. That will get sped up when he gets to the NFL. But the biggest development that he's going to have to make is realizing, okay, that guy that I didn't want to throw in college because he was covered, I have to because it's the NFL. And if you think he can get there, he's got all the talent in the world to be a stud at the position.
Now, Chris Canty, you made your living making life miserable for guys like those. How important a factor is that mobility in pro football circa 2021?
Well, it's huge. I mean, this is the thing. You don't want to prepare for a quarterback that can use his legs to get out of trouble because he can extend it down. He can put pressure on the defense in ways that a pure pocket passer can't. But to Dan's point, with Justin Fields, it's going to come down to, can he throw with anticipation in the NFL? You can't wait until you see it and then execute the throw. You've got to be able to throw with the anticipation that the scheme is going to create that void in order to hit your receiver. So I think that's one of the things that we have to watch for with Justin Fields.
Meantime, Diana, let me come to you on another one of these picks. Well, go ahead.
Now, what I want to say is to Chris's point with Dan, saying you got to throw in anticipation. He has to see guys open. I heard the same thing about Josh Allen. I heard the same thing about Justin Herbert. It's a scout's job to project.
Right.
So scouts are critiquing Fields on what they should be doing and they're not doing. If they got to see it, then they're not a scout that I want. and they got to scout with anticipation. They got to project what a player will be. They didn't do it with Josh Allen, because I heard the same criticism. They didn't do it with Justin. Oh, Tua's more NFL ready. Tua throws with better anticipation. Sam Darnold, the great one now, right? Everybody hates Sam Darnold. He threw with better anticipation. He was better than Josh Allen, who everybody was hating on at this same stage of that draft process. So I heard it with Josh, Justin, and now Justin. What's it with the Jays? Josh, Justin, and now Justin. Nobody seems to like coming through the draft process because they don't throw with anticipation. Scout with anticipation. That might help these guys make better decisions long term.
Find yourself someone who cares about their job the way Mel Kiper cares about his. Diana,
let's
let me
go,
come to
Mel.
You quickly on one other topic here, because Mel does have the Niners moving up to take a quarterback. Now, their general manager, John Lynch, just yesterday in an interview said, Jimmy Garoppolo, I expect him to be our quarterback next year. So what gives in San Francisco?
Yeah, that's probably the boldest statement we've heard from John Lynch, but you could really play around with all the wording that they've used every single time they talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's still not the thing you want to hear if you want Jimmy Garoppolo staying in San Francisco, and that's, he is our guy. He's going nowhere. We are invested in him. We can win with Jimmy. You never hear that, because look at it this way. John Lynch can just go back after the draft, or if they decide to move on from Jimmy, and say, yeah, we changed our minds. No one's going to hold his feet to the fire on this. They don't need to. So the 49ers here from, I think we can all, it's been made very clear. They're not in love with Jimmy Garoppolo. So the table is always open for them to make decisions.
Okay, so we will see. So there's still a lot of pieces that are yet to be fit into this jigsaw puzzle before we get to draft night. All right, next order of business. Dan Orlovsky, you were not here to defend yourself yesterday when Dominique Foxworth and Marcus Spears, I thought, took unfair shots at you. For those who may have missed it, this is what they said.
I stand here on behalf of Dan Orlovsky leading this fan club. Carson Wentz is going to ball out.
When your sentence starts with, I agree with Dan Orlovsky, you're wrong.
Did he forget how to play because he had one bad year?
It looked like it. Like the worst quarterback in the league last year. Now you talk about he about to be MVP level? Woo, that is some Dan Orlovsky level nonsense.
You and Dan Orlovsky going to say he going to be the MVP, or he going to be in that conversation? Please, stop it.
So we have a rule on this show. Our members of our family, of which Dan Orlovsky, you are an original member of this family. Nothing like that can be said of you without you getting the chance to respond. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
First of all, the last time I was on television with Dominique Foxworth, which was a little bit over 2 weeks ago, he literally used the words, I agree with Dan on this. So you just called yourself a dummy, Dom. Second of all, hate and jealousy look bad on Marcus Spears and Dominique Foxworth. Like, what did Carson Wentz do to those guys? Like, what did Carson Wentz, does he remind those guys of some kid from their past that they couldn't get better than or something like that? And then I would end it with this, Greeny. It looks like Chris Ballard and Frank Reich agree with me. It looks like a guy that is a general manager that both those dudes are going to speak glowingly of. Chris Ballard, what a good general manager. And both those dudes that are going to speak glowingly of Frank Reich as a coach, they agree with me. They gave up a first-round pick hoping that he plays really good, not hoping that he plays really bad. So those guys may need to reassess their thought process, because at the end of the day, the general manager and the head coach sided with me and not with them. Jealousy and hate looks bad on both those guys. I'm glad that I got people like Diana on today's show that is and class, and a guy like Chris Canty, who just so happens to be another Baltimore Ravens defensive lineman that I have to do TV with. But at least Chris has got class and integrity and thoughtful responses instead of just built up anger from their past at Carson Wentz and myself. I'll end it with this. From the years of 2017 to the years of 2019, there was only two quarterbacks in the NFL that threw for more than 20 touchdowns and less than 20 picks. One is Drew Brees. The other is Carson Wentz. So those guys can hate all they want. The results are what they are.
Yeah. And for the record, the other one who agreed with you was Torrey Smith, who was his teammate, the guy who was actually there and played with Carson Wentz. Chris, let me come to you. What is Wentz going to be this year in Indianapolis on that team with that coach? What's he going
to
be?
I think he's going to be a top 10 to 12 quarterback. If you look at the Colts last year, I mean, they had the talent to be able to support Phillip Rivers, a quarterback who was middle of the road. Rivers finished 19th in QBR. So Wentz certainly presents a lot more upside. The Colts have a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense, so it's all set up for him to have success. The only question is, can he get out of his own head? It's about the 6 inches between his ears. The confidence certainly was an issue last year. Mm-hmm. He led the league in sacks and picks, and he only played in 12 games. So certainly there's some work that has to be done. Frank Wright, Press Taylor, they got to get him back right. But the potential is there for Carson Wentz to be a top 10, 12 quarterback next season.
Diana, what are the people around the league saying now that the trade's about a week old?
Yeah, first off, Granny, when Orlovsky's singing my praises, try to tell Pete behind the scenes there, don't be giving him a rap. I want to keep hearing all those glowing reviews. I've had some horrible takes on this show. I need some build-up. My confidence is really low. But here's what I can tell you. Look, I had Tampa Bay Bucks not even making the playoffs. I'm going to live with that one. That's going to be put on my grave one day. But look, the Carson Wentz situation in Indy. First thing I did was called around to players and coaches in that division to just get a sense, because I feel like none of us really know who Carson is. Is this a good move? Will this marriage with Frank Reich work the second time? And I got a very similar sentiment from a lot of different people, which is if he can get his confidence back, Carson's is in his head. And it was also pointed out to me that look at this Colts offense. The run game has really become their strength. If Carson can go in there and just manage this, they're not going to make him ask to do too much. Just don't turn the ball over, and he can be successful in Indy. So I'm with Dan on that, just not as in love.
We'll see where it goes. We'll take a short break on that thought. Much more quarterback conversation as we
Your
continue. There's
jaded
another
you.
One people are questioning, and that is Ben Roethlisberger. Seems as if the Steelers will keep their legend, but is keeping Big Ben actually in the team's best interest? We'll answer that question right after this. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They can't ask Big Ben to play catch-and-throw football like they did last year. Look at the older quarterbacks that are playing well. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. It is a complementary football team where they'll put Big Ben back under center. They'll lean and rely on a good run game. Doesn't have to be great, a good run game, and allow his experience plus a still talented body to lead them to play good winning football. But until they do that, they're asking for a problem. If they just bring Big Ben back and expect to play football offensively the way they did last year, they will not go to the playoffs. But if they bring him back at a lesser money and put good players around him and protect him, he's still good enough.
I feel like what you're saying, and I'm glad you're saying it because I think someone needed to, is when you make a list of the things that went wrong for the Steelers last year after they started 11-0, Ben would be low on that list. They didn't have a bad running game. They stopped running the
Correct.
Ball at all. They had a ton of injuries Correct. On the defensive side of the ball, and their offensive line was banged up. So is Roethlisberger what he was 10 years ago? Obviously not. But I don't think he was the problem Right. last year. That doesn't necessarily mean, however, that with the Steelers where Right. they are, to Dan's point, maybe not that good a team from top to bottom, that the right answer is bringing back a quarterback at this stage of his career. What do you think they should do in Pittsburgh, Chris Canty?
Well, I think they need to move on. And like you, I don't think that Ben was the biggest problem in Pittsburgh last year, but Ben Roethlisberger used to be a quarterback that was capable of overcoming the issues that were around him and elevating the talent level. He can't do that anymore. He's not that kind of quarterback. So for me, the Pittsburgh Steelers should just rip the Band-Aid off. And hearing Diana talk about the different things that the Steelers can do to address the contract, it feels like they're just kicking the can down the road. And I'm not necessarily in line with that for a quarterback that doesn't make you better than third best in your division. So to me, it seems like they should move on, because if they do retain Ben, it's going to cost them some potential core guys that they would like to hang on to.
I get it. But here's the question. And Diana, I guess I'll start with you on this. It's easy to say they should move on. There's a part of that I agree with. But the question is, move on to
who?
What? And move on to who? Who are they moving on to, Diana, if they were to do it?
That's part of the equation here, which is why Mike Tomlin, their head coach, and their owner wanted to have Ben come back. They still think he can play. And guys, we just all talked about it. So much of their success is because of Ben. He is a force multiplier. It's something Mike Tannenbaum, his favorite word to use, he makes everybody around him better. You know, there's not a lot of players out on this free agency market now, or even on this roster. Dwayne Haskins is not the answer for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's behind. He still has a lot of growing to do, as we've seen, and in terms of understanding the offense. So they can't rely on Haskins. Ben has to be the future for right. the Steelers for at least the next year or two.
Well, so that is an interesting name to bring up. That video you just saw was Dwayne Haskins, who less than two calendar years ago was a high first-round draft pick in the National Football League. So maybe, Dan, the answer is him a year down the road. Let him sit there a year. Let him learn behind outstanding coaching and an outstanding legendary quarterback. Any chance you see that being the reclamation project and the ultimate answer?
If he loves playing in the NFL, yes. That's the question. Does he love playing in the NFL or does he love being in the NFL? Two very different things, and Chris knows that. A lot of guys love being in the NFL, and that's why they're in it for a short period of time. So Dwayne's got to have a very much so a come-to-Jesus offseason and prove to the Steelers that I want to play in the NFL. And if that's the case, then they may strike gold. They may make that acquisition that, you know, solves their quarterback needs for the future. This is also a Mason Rudolph issue, because when he got the opportunity to play, he didn't play very well. The Steelers aren't in a good situation, Greeny, because they had to bring Big Ben back because the options elsewhere weren't great. They also can't use their first-round pick on a quarterback this year because they need to win this year. They need to go get an impactful player this year in the first round. So they're not in a great situation. Big Ben was their best option, but they will have a big-time issue at that position moving forward.
I'm with that. We'll see. We'll see what winds up happening with this legacy franchise that never has a losing year. Meanwhile, we've got a great Big Ten college basketball doubleheader for you tonight. The conference is just loaded. Number 3 Michigan is the best team. They're sitting at the top there, and they will host Luka Garza and number 9 Iowa tonight, 7 Eastern, in a sonic blockbuster. Then to East Lansing, number 4 Ohio State, also outstanding, taking on Michigan State, and Tom Izzo's team needs wins to get into the dance. Great games tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, coming up, back to Mel's mock draft. Why are so many quarterbacks coveted and willing to make bold moves to get them? We're talking about that and more as we get up with you on ESPN.